In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in a time where there seems to exist a protest culture, an accepted norm of continual outrage, open anger, and hateful attacks directed at issues, events, and other people. And that has led to a shocking result. Words have lost whatever little value they have left as a means of influencing our fellow human beings. Our words have devalued to the point that almost every line of verbal reasoning has lost its power, no matter if it's rational or irrational. One can no longer say anything surprising enough, shocking enough, or just plain common sense enough that will really grab anyone's attention or make a difference, much less contribute to the resolution of disputes between opposing parties. Rather than talking with one another, people talk past or at others. It's interesting, though, in our epistle reading today, that James firmly takes issue with the notion that human speech has somehow lost its value. Quite the opposite. The brother of our Lord Jesus begs us carefully to consider our own experience and to acknowledge, once again, the fiery power of our words, so that our sin-infected tongues would be gladly directed to a higher purpose, the glory of God and the blessing of Christ's body, the church. Whatever and whenever we fail with our tongues, James asks us to remember that the human tongue is capable of inflicting great damage, but Christ has restored our tongue to accomplish His good. God has restored, through Christ, our tongue to accomplish His good. Again this morning, the Epistle of James confronts Christians of every age with the inconsistencies between faith and actions. The warning we hear this morning is very clear, and what's also clear is that no one is immune to this disease of sin. James says, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Last week, in the previous chapter, James addressed the issue of favoritism and having a faith without works. But now, his charges run deeper and should cut even deeper into the heart of everyone who hears. Our tongue is an agent of harm. It is on fire with the fire of hell. "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue." No human, not one, is innocent. Not you, not me, no one. And to drive the point home, James reminds us of what we are all too capable of doing. We can sit here in the divine service praising our God in heaven, and then leave here cursing his most precious creations, other people. We praise God one moment, and the next, the very same tongue, the one in our mouths, can utter such filth about others, and even to others, and even to those closest to us. Also, it should be pointed out that what is called a sin of the tongue by James is nowadays performed and extended on a shocking scale with the help of technology. Even if we don't say a word out loud, text messages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, email, and who knows what else, serve as powerful amplifiers for our flaming, poisonous tongues. In fact, technology seems to give us license to fling nasty words to say, to fling nasty words into the world that we might be ashamed or embarrassed to say aloud to someone's face. Every day, we are invited to slander people and spread lies and filth by simply clicking like or share. St. Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." James would totally agree. His proof is the tongue. His proof is our tongue. Ours are tongues that cannot be tamed. Sure, we try. We try and we try and we try, like many other things in life. We put our mind to fixing the problem. After all, we are all children of God. Such a fiery tongue is not right for us. Wouldn't God want us to tame it so it speaks only words that glorify him? Sure, he would. He does. But it seems that the harder we try, the worse we do. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man able to bridle his whole body. But I'm not a perfect man. Neither my tongue nor my body is bridled. So, is there nothing we can do? Are we doomed to live this life in a never-ending battle against a tongue that would just as soon as destroy us, it would honor the God of our salvation? Well, in a way, yes, and in another, no. The battle will go on for each of us. But the very same words of James chapter 3 points us toward the victory that is ours in the battle. The battles rage on, but the war is already over. Listen again. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. And here is the good news of God's grace toward imperfect men and women such as you and me. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, And like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. All is not lost. And our tongues, though they rage with the fire of hell, will not condemn us. Again, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. There is no man who is perfect then, except one. There is one who is a perfect man. There is one who bridled his tongue and bridled his whole body. There is one who lived the perfect life you and I cannot live. There is one who deserved none of what he received at the hands of those who hung him on the cross, but suffered every moment as he bore the burden of our sinful tongues. That perfect one, our Savior Jesus Christ, lived and died and rose exactly because our tongues are a fire, a world of unrighteousness. He bridled his tongue even in the face of death, so that we might receive his righteousness as he now lives in us. So we need not live in despair or guilt. Instead, we live as children of our Heavenly Father. We live as those given the inheritance of the only Son of God who was silent on our behalf. In the words of holy baptism, in the same way as Marguerite was baptized today, that fire that burns from our tongue was extinguished. The word of God that we hear fills our mind and our heart with the pure truth from God. That word replaces all the other words and gives our tongue something righteous to speak. As we receive the body and blood of Christ under the bread and wine on our tongue, the wounds inflicted on us by the things we say are healed. God's grace is a saving flood that not even the fires of hell can stand against. And what we are helpless against on our own, we conquer in Jesus Christ. We will try to bridle our tongue and our body and our mind, but they will fail us. And though we will never stop trying, our triumph must now be in Christ. For all things are possible for one who believes, as our gospel reading from Mark chapter 9 says today. What is impossible for us, it is ours and possible in Christ. In the forgiveness of our sins, God makes us perfect, and thus renews us, strengthens us, and guides us according to His will. God has restored our tongue to accomplish His good. And so we continue to train and use our tongues as instruments that are able to accomplish so much good. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can use our tongues to share the gospel of Jesus and to bless those who persecute us, so that in spite of our sins, we would live in the freedom of continual repentance, absolution, and reconciliation toward one another. And with the Holy Spirit, we can also use our tongues to bless God in the purity, truth, and righteousness all of us have received, that has poured out that it has been poured out upon us to his eternal praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.